You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Happy Friday, everybody. Welcome in to another new episode of Locked On Rockets, your home for podcast analysis on all things Houston Rockets basketball. As always, I'm your host, Ben DuBose, Rockets correspondent with Sports Talk 790, the team's official radio flagship in Houston. It's a Friday for us in Houston, which may mean that it's a little quiet at your job, but that's certainly not the case with the Houston Rockets. Training camp in full swing over in Lake Charles, Louisiana, so we know the players and coaches are busy. But guess what? It's not just the players and coaches. The front office, led by GM Daryl Morey, they are very busy as well. And so even though we have this action on the basketball court that we'll eventually get to in Friday's show, what we're going to lead off is what's driving most of the discussion online, which is the report late Thursday night from Mark Berman of Fox 26 here in Houston that the Rockets are making a strong push to trade for Minnesota's Jimmy Butler. So when you look at where things stand, and it's tough to get a gauge on that because the Timberwolves, they were given a trade request by Jimmy Butler last week, but the reports since then have been very mixed. According to some, Tom Thibodeau, who's the head coach and the president of basketball operations, he's asking for the moon to the point where some folks wonder even if Thibodeau wants to move him at all. And there have been reports that Thibodeau may be trying to get Butler back into the fold. On the other hand, Glenn Taylor, the owner, apparently wants to move on as soon as possible. And so when you have the coach and the president of basketball operations not in alignment with the owner of the team, that's a very rare, volatile, and unpredictable situation. So I don't view the Rockets or any team in the league as having a better than 50-50 shot at this time, simply because of how difficult it is to project what Minnesota is looking for, both in terms of will they move Butler at all and when, and also what are they looking for. That said, I do believe the Rockets are trying. I said that on Sunday when we first looked into the storyline of the Rockets going after Jimmy Butler really post his trade request, which came out in the middle of last week, and all of those things still apply. And quite frankly, I think if anything, the silence on the market in terms of other suitors only makes the Rockets more viable as a destination. Now, I do believe that Mark is correct that the Rockets are pushing. I don't think that anything is at the finish line because, quite frankly, the ball is in Minnesota's court. They've got to settle on which path they're going to take. Is it Glenn Taylor or is it Tom Thibodeau that's going to be calling the shots? And also, what are they looking for? There's a number of directions they could hypothetically go in this transaction, and it sounds like they're still sorting it out. Although with Minnesota, when you have that kind of an unpredictable dynamic, a deal literally could come at any moment. All it takes is one conference call, one text, and all of a sudden, things can be on the pathway to where a deal comes very, very quickly. As far as what the Rockets would offer, we've been through it in prior shows, but to recap, it would almost certainly have to be Eric Gordon because you have to get somewhere near Jimmy Butler's $20 million figure. Eric Gordon making over $13 million a year is a starting point combination of a nice asset that can help the Timberwolves win now, plus a salary that gets them close in the vicinity of matching for the $20 million contract that Jimmy Butler makes. You could also add Nene to that. And between Gordon and Nene, you have enough to make the math work. The question is, do you have enough for Minnesota to do the deal? My guess is probably not. So you're going to have to add in some combination of future first-round draft picks, young prospects, maybe someone out of the Jochi, Isaiah Hartenstein tier. Maybe you look at salary relief. You couldn't trade Brandon Knight in aggregation or Marquise Chris, but theoretically you could trade them on a one-for-one, such as Brandon Knight for the Gorgui Dieng contract, which is a year longer, and give the Timberwolves some salary cap relief. Those are all various configurations, the logistics of where a deal could make sense both for Houston and Minnesota. But as far as why Houston would pursue it, I would be surprised if the Rockets were willing to give up two rotation pieces, i.e. both Eric Gordon and P.J. Tucker for Butler having effectively just 1 year left or 1 year guaranteed with the player option next summer. But aside from not giving up two clear rotation pieces, would the Rockets go after him? Yes, I think so, because as good as Eric Gordon is, yes, he's a great fit. Eric Gordon does not give you the defensive impact, the two-way play that Jimmy Butler does, and those types are the keys to competing with the Golden State Warriors. And Jimmy Butler, according to the Sports Illustrated rankings that we referenced a couple of weeks ago, is a top 10 player in the league. Worst case, he's a top 15 player. And Eric Gordon, while very good, a great fit, he is not at that level. So yes, I do think the Rockets are interested. It makes sense. Ideally, you would have gotten the deal done before training camp for chemistry's sake so that you could have more time to get Butler into the fold. But look, this is about Minnesota. They get to act when they're ready to act. So unfortunately, the Rockets don't have full control over that process. But even now, even though they're getting used to training camp with Eric Gordon, if the Rockets can get Jimmy Butler with Eric Gordon as the headliner, would they do it? Should they do it? In my opinion, yes. As far as whether a deal actually gets to the finish line, which Mark Berman, again, of Fox 26 in Houston, reporting late Thursday night, the Rockets are making a strong push. Again, hard to predict because of the Minnesota factors. But I do think the Rockets are one of only a very small handful of teams around the NBA that have a real shot. And I'm going to explain why I believe that to be the case. And effectively, it's got to make sense for the team acquiring Butler, and it's got to make sense for Minnesota. And there are not a lot of teams that can check all the boxes. In my opinion, the Rockets can. First, let me explain why it makes sense for Houston. If you are acquiring Jimmy Butler, as good as he is, again, consistently over 20 points per game, 5 rebounds, 5 assists per game, along with great defense, again, potentially a top 10, top 15 player, all that being said, you have to realize that, yes, he can become a free agent next summer and potentially leave you for zero compensation. So given that dynamic, given that risk, you need to fit at least one of these two qualifications. Either A, you think that you can win a championship this year with Jimmy Butler, which the Rockets absolutely can. I don't think many teams around the league, as good as Butler is, could trade for Butler and say that because the Warriors are just that good. So yes, the Rockets meet qualification A, whereas a lot of other teams do not. And qualification B is, do you think that you have any chance, any decent chance, I should say, to re-sign him next summer? That's a little cloudier because there have been so many different reports. First, his preferred list as far as destinations was allegedly the Nets, the Clippers, and the Knicks. We've heard a report this week that really he wants to go to Miami. It's hard to say. The last we heard from Jimmy on the record, he's been strongly in favor of winning situations, which Houston definitely is. We also know he grew up in Tomball, which is in metropolitan Houston, so I can't see him being dramatically opposed to Houston, especially with how good the team is going to be. Yes, the Rockets would have his bird rights. They would be able to re-sign him long-term, even with the max deals to Chris Paul and James Harden and the $15 to $20 million deal given out to Clint Capella. Yes, they could retain Jimmy Butler. Absolute worst case would be that you're in the same position that the Thunder were in with Paul George. In other words, needing to prove it on the floor in terms of the culture, the results. Personally, I think it's a little better than that. I know you can point to the reports about the Nets, the Knicks, the Clippers, the Heat, which, again, I think some of those are for leverage purposes. There's also been so much of a divergence in these reports that it's hard to take any of them that seriously, in my opinion. But absolute worst case, the Rockets could offer more money because they would have his bird rights. They would offer a winning team, an environment that certainly he should be comfortable with in terms of the area of the country. We know he's close with James Harden. So yes, the Rockets, A, can win a championship this year with Jimmy Butler, which makes any risk worthwhile. And B, I do think that they can have a real path to re-sign him next summer, which a lot of teams around the league, such as, say, the Sacramento Kings, even if they have the assets to fulfill Minnesota's desires, it doesn't make sense for them because they can't win the title. And come on, Jimmy Butler's not going to re-sign with the Sacramento Kings, even if they can offer the most money. So that's why I think it makes sense for Houston, and a lot of teams are going to be disqualified on one or even both of those counts. The flip side, the deal's got to make sense for Minnesota. Now, what are they looking for? It's hard to say exactly, and so that's what has so much uncertainty over this situation. But I think they're looking for, I would say, at least two out of these three items, and if they can hit all three, great, but that's probably unlikely. But I think for Minnesota, you're looking for some combination of pieces that can help you win now, future considerations, and cap relief. And so, from the standpoint of Houston, what that means, the win-now piece is Eric Gordon. And yes, he plays a very similar position to Jimmy Butler. The Timberwolves could slide him right in there. So if the Timberwolves, led by Tom Thibodeau, with a pretty veteran supporting cast around Karl-Anthony Towns, I think that winning now matters to them. And so Eric Gordon is a piece that can contribute to that. There's a lot of teams around the NBA. If you're trying to get to the $20 million salary, or anywhere in the vicinity to make the math work, they're not really going to be able to get there in a fashion that makes sense for both their team and Minnesota. Either the player combinations that get you near $20 million are going to be too good, meaning the risk is too great, considering some of the factors we just laid out for Jimmy Butler that's basically on an expiring contract, or to get to $20 million, you're going to have to be giving up bad contracts, which Minnesota does not want. Eric Gordon is in that perfect tier of a player that's quality, makes enough money to get close to the salaries matching, and serves a purpose for Minnesota. He's good enough for Houston to give up, but he's not so great that the deal doesn't make sense for the Rockets. So if the Timberwolves want win-now help, Eric Gordon can be a piece to that. If they want future considerations, the Rockets don't have great draft picks, but they do have all of them, and not all teams can say that. There are a lot of teams that have constraints on their ability to deal future draft picks because of what they have given up in the past. The Rockets have all their picks moving forward, so they can give up one or two picks if they want. They have guys like Joe Chi, Isaiah Hartenstein, Vince Edwards that do have some value, so it's not like the Rockets are assetless. They're not at the front of the list, but they do have young prospects and picks that have some value, so they can check that box to a degree. And then as far as the salary relief, yes, you can, if that's what the Timberwolves want, you can shed a year off of that hideous Gorgui Dieng contract by swapping him for Brandon Knight. Now, would the Rockets do all three of those considerations, give them considerable future assets, Eric Gordon, plus the salary relief? I'd be a little surprised for the same reasons that I don't think they would move Eric Gordon and PJ Tucker. There is risk with Jimmy Butler, and while he's great, he's not at the LeBron James or Kevin Durant tier. That said, I don't think Minnesota, in their bargaining position, especially with the season rapidly approaching, is going to be able to get all three of those things. I think you could probably get two of the three, meaning win now, future considerations, and cap relief, and the Rockets can check at least part of the boxes for those criteria. So while I don't think the Rockets are the only team that can check all the boxes, they're one of the only teams that makes sense across the board, and that they can at least somewhat meet those criteria, and yet it also makes sense for Houston in terms of what they would give up, the risk profile. There are not that many teams to where it makes sense. So our late first-round draft picks, Eric Gordon, is that what fans in Minnesota are hoping for, and is that what Tom Thibodeau is looking for in terms of recouping what he gave up to get Butler from the Bulls a little over a year ago? Probably not. But when you consider the headwinds that work against any team that's trading a player in the last year of his contract, we discussed those earlier, you're not going to have peak offers from around the league. You're not going to get fair value. And so when you look at the constraints in terms of the risk profile, all the other things that are going on, the Rockets are one of the only teams that check all the boxes, and you know that with Daryl Morey, they're not afraid. A lot of GMs, a lot of front offices, they might not be willing to take the risk. Well, as good as the Rockets are trying to win now, and with Daryl Morey, who even going back to before James Harden, remember how hard he went after Dwight Howard when apparently Howard in 2012 had no interest in going to Houston. I don't think the Rockets are going to be deterred. And so while it's hard for me to say that the Rockets are the front runner or anywhere close to 50-50, given how unpredictable Minnesota is, I do think they're absolutely looking to close this deal, because if they can get better, if they can add another top 10, top 15 piece in the NBA, yes, that's what they need to compete with the Warriors. So in my opinion, it's something to watch, and it would make the Rockets a much more talented basketball team. I hope it happens. Will it? Stay tuned. One final note before we move on to the Eric Gordon part of the equation. I've been asked a lot on Twitter, can the Rockets afford to re-sign him? Yes, if you trade for Jimmy Butler, you have his bird rights. Even if it's the max, it's just a matter of how much luxury tax that Tillman Fertitta is willing to pay. You can add Jimmy Butler at the max next summer on top of Chris Paul, James Harden, Clint Capella, who's not quite at the max, but now making a lot of money. The risk profile here is when you get into the repeater tax. That's something we heard from Tillman earlier this week, and that's not going to be triggered next season. It could be by the 2020-2021 timeframe. We're looking at doing it 3 years in a row or three times in 4 years, and so I think the Rockets are very acutely aware of that. And that's not just Tillman Fertitta being cheap. That's a major deterrent for any front office around the league. Now, hopefully the Rockets win a title before then, and maybe at that point you bring in so many revenues that it doesn't matter. But even if the Rockets have to make moves at a later date to get under the tax line so they're not subject to the repeater tax, the question when you bring in someone like Jimmy Butler is, will they have positive trade value? And Jimmy Butler, now just 29 years old, he'll be 30 when he signs the extension next summer, wherever he is. I don't see Jimmy Butler at 30, 31 years old not having positive trade value. Even at the max, he doesn't have that long of an injury history. He is that good of a basketball player. So the point is that the only real financial consideration, yes, the Rockets can give him the max, is that is there a point with the luxury tax, specifically the repeater tax, to where it gets too punitive to keep a team with this many max salaries together? Well, again, as long as the player has positive trade value, then I don't think Daryl Morey is going to be that concerned about it, because even if Fertitta puts in a mandate later, they've got to shed salary. Okay, well then, as long as Butler has positive trade value, you can trade him a year from now into someone's cap space. So it's not that salary is no concern, but yes, the Rockets can pay Jimmy Butler the max, and I would not expect money to be a major deterrent. Again, keep in mind that because of the salary, you should be sending almost as much out with Eric Gordon and A and whatever your other filler is as what you're taking in. So yes, there would be a raise next summer for Butler. He'd get close to $30 million a year, close to the up from the $20 million or so that he's making now. It's not that it's no consideration, but as long as he has positive trade value, I don't think that's going to be a major deterrent for the Rockets. Yes, they can get Jimmy Butler, they can pay him this season, and they can pay him next season and beyond if they think that's in the best interest of them as a basketball team, and I have a hard time seeing how it's not. Now, I wanted to lead off discussing the Jimmy Butler storylines because clearly he's the lead item here. But the connected name to this is Eric Gordon because, again, it's tough to see the math working or the deal making any sense for Minnesota from an X's and O's fit unless Eric Gordon is part of the package. And I've been asked a lot over the past day or so if there's a correlation between the story that came out yesterday about from Rockets training camp, Eric Gordon not signing an extension with the Rockets, and he discussed that a little bit when asked by the media contingent in Lake Charles, to this sudden pickup and activity around Jimmy Butler. While I think it's an interesting coincidence, ultimately, that's all it is. Look, it's not as if Gordon's agent leaked this. He said it when he was asked a question at training camp. It's not as if his agent decided to drop this bomb to get prepared for a trade. Now, I do think there's some relationship from the standpoint of the fact that Gordon didn't sign an extension. Maybe that makes him a greater trade candidate for the Rockets, because the reasons Gordon wouldn't sign an extension, we heard in June that the Rockets would look into doing it, but I think there are two main reasons that he wouldn't sign the extension. First, the Rockets, as an over-the-cap team, they're limited in what they can offer him at this time. They'll have his bird rights in 2020, but right now, the most they can offer is 3 years, $57 million. Maybe he wants more than that. I don't know, so he might want more money. But I think another consideration is that if he signs through 2022, 2023, and we know his name has been mentioned in a lot of rumors, he is essentially giving up any control he has. Who knows if Eric Gordon even wants to go to Minnesota? And right now, because his contract expires in 2020, if the Rockets were to trade into Minnesota or somewhere else, it's not like he would be locked in. He, by his free agency date in 2020, he would have options to where if he's not content with the destination the Rockets send him to, okay, well, he can become a free agent and then take some control over his situation. Whereas if he signs an extension, then all of a sudden he's subject to the whims of the Rockets, whatever they want to do. And if they move him, well, he just has to play wherever he goes and there's not a whole lot that he can do about it. So I don't think there's a direct correlation in terms of this week, that story coming out. It's just a matter of that's when he was asked by the media contingent and he answered it honestly, saying that it didn't really make sense for him. But do I think that the Rockets would take that into consideration? Sure, because regardless of the logic, I think it's pretty clear that if he wants the flexibility of that 2020 free agency, then it is fair to wonder if it's a lock that the Rockets retain him for a lot of reasons, including potential luxury tax, repeater tax reasons, like we were just outlining. And if he's not a part of the long-term plans, then yes, I do think it makes him more movable. Now, I don't think the Rockets would move him just to move him because, yes, he's a very valuable player. Again, Gordon is 29 years old, just like Butler. He's still relatively young. He's an even better shooter, a dynamic offensive player, nowhere near the defensive player as Butler, but certainly serviceable. And you've seen reports that the Rockets are looking at Eric Gordon potentially as their starting three. We talked about that on Wednesday's show with Craig Ackerman. And I've seen some suggesting that, well, maybe part of the reason they're doing that having Gordon at the three is because, well, if you trade for Butler, then you just slide Butler into that same spot and there's no rotation impact. I think, again, that's something that's coincidental. I don't think they're doing it by design, thinking that, oh, we're going to experiment with Eric Gordon at the three, because then if we get Butler, then everybody else is going to have the same role, so there's going to be no impact. I don't think it's that. I think if you've paid attention this offseason, you have seen more and more lineups with the Rockets using those three guards, Eric Gordon, James Harden, Chris Paul, together. We saw it out in Vegas when they were there for the Summer League to pick up games with Chris, James, Eric, PJ Tucker, and Joe Chi as the five that the Rockets were putting out there. That was back when Capella was going through his extended contract negotiations. But again, I don't think that the Rockets are looking at this as, well, let's put him at the three just because it'd make a hypothetical Butler trade easier, because I don't think the Rockets even know how they feel in terms of their chances with Minnesota. There's so much unpredictability with the owner, Glenn Taylor, and the head coach, Tom Thibodeau, seemingly being at odds philosophically and trying to pick a direction. I don't think the Rockets even feel like it's better than 50-50 that this deal gets to the finish line. So I don't think they're making plans based on, well, what if we trade for Jimmy Butler? No, I think it's more that the Rockets were pleasantly surprised by just how playable the three guards were together in the playoffs, especially against the Warriors when we saw Gordon play down the stretch, hit big shots late in both Game 4 and Game 5, so they're building on that. And I think just as the contract question was a little coincidental, I do think that this is a bit of a coincidence as well. That said, while it's a coincidence, I certainly don't think it hurts. Again, if you trade for Jimmy Butler, some of the concerns that I've seen is that, well, his training camp has already started. Is there a chemistry risk? Can you get this thing together basically just a couple of weeks now until the season starts for real on October 17th? Well, again, if you have James Ennis and Carmelo Anthony already used to the idea of coming off the bench and the starting lineup used to playing with three guys that are dynamic scorers, need the ball in their hands, then I do think that makes the adjustment curve, if you trade for Jimmy Butler, a little bit easier. Again, I don't think it's by design. I think it's largely coincidental. But nonetheless, these two things, the fact that Eric Gordon hasn't signed an extension, the fact that you have been trying him at the three, while I don't think it's by design to where those things are directly correlated to the pursuit of Jimmy Butler, at the same time, they certainly don't hurt. They are not hindrances in terms of the idea of this thing working, Jimmy Butler, the fit in Houston, both long-term in terms of the entire balance of the season, trying to win a championship, but also short-term, can you be ready by the middle of October with this group? The Eric Gordon factors, again, I think they're coincidental, but they certainly don't hurt, and they do give me a little bit more peace of mind in terms of, if the Rockets get this deal, this Jimmy Butler trade with Minnesota to the finish line, how does it fit? To me, these factors with Eric Gordon make me sleep a little bit easier about, A, the basketball fit, and then B, you know, what happens to the risk? What if Jimmy Butler leaves next summer, or what if there's a problem with the money down the line and you have to trade him, so on and so forth? Well, look, it's not a lock that Eric Gordon's going to be here long-term either because of that contract. So, again, coincidental? Yes. But it can also be helpful, and I think both of those fronts make it a little easier to digest a Gordon for Butler move if that ends up happening. Again, I'm not saying it's likely. I think the Rockets, like any team in this mess, are below 50-50 at this point in time just based on the unpredictability in Minnesota. But I do think it's very possible. I do believe the report from Mark Berman that they are pushing hard. And if it were to happen, I think those are two little things that should make you a little more comfortable with the deal, both short-term in terms of this season and long-term, the contracts, a little more comfortable conceptually with the idea of a Gordon plus for Jimmy Butler swap. Now, to close out the show, let's move on to one basketball item that we've heard on the court with the guys that we know are going to be a part of the Rockets this season. Well, I guess you never know with Daryl Morey, but it's as close as you can. James Ennis signed on a one-year deal at the minimum. They are very bullish on him. And the most noteworthy thing I saw out of the training camp reports yesterday on Thursday was an anecdote from Tim McMahon of ESPN. There's been a lot of praise this week from the players for James Ennis, his intensity, his competitiveness, and there's an anecdote from ESPN's Tim McMahon that the Rockets quietly believe that Ennis won't be much of a drop-off, if any, from Trevor Ariza. And immediately on NBA Twitter, that was met with a lot of skepticism because we all know how the offseason departures of Trevor Ariza and Luke Bamute have been hyped up. And one of the popular points to push back on Ennis, who has been universally lauded this week, players love that guy in terms of his tenacity, again, his competitiveness, his defense, the chip on his shoulder. It's no surprise that we heard that P.J. Tucker was advocating for the Rockets to add him as far back as this past season. He's that P.J. Tucker, he's in that same dog mold James Ennis is to what P.J. Tucker gives you. So I think the Rockets love Ennis, and I'm very bullish on him, as seemingly everyone is around the entire team. That's something that Craig Ackerman kept going back to in our Wednesday interview, how high he is on Ennis. The one argument against it, look, he's played on a number of teams. He's been a bit of a journeyman, even though he's just 28 years old. I think this is his fifth NBA stop in just 5 years. And it's easy to say, the lazy take is, well, if this guy were so good, why wouldn't he stick? And the argument against it is that you're not looking at him to be, against that concept, James Harden or Chris Paul. You're looking at him to replace Trevor Ariza and Luke Bamute. And folks, those guys, as much credit as they have been given, I've said throughout the offseason, you also need to give the system credit. Because Trevor Ariza in Phoenix, that's now his eighth new NBA destination. I'm counting the Rockets twice, of course, because Ariza has had two stints in Houston separated by several years. The point is, Ariza has never had a stable home. Luke Bamute is now, I believe, on his fifth team in the past 5 years, something like that. He has bounced around a lot. That's not to take anything away from them, but in the NBA, it is about the stars. And yes, there are role players that are better in certain situations. There are role players for teams like the Rockets and the Warriors that are indispensable, such as P.J. Tucker for the Rockets, Andre Iguodala for the Warriors. I do believe that some role players are better fits somewhere else. That said, generally speaking, it's more the system that makes the role players than it is the role players that make the system. And so that, to me, with all the hype over the departures of Trevor Ariza and Luke Bamute this offseason, that's what's getting lost. And that's why, yes, you could see a James Ennis step in and take on a bigger role and be more successful in replacing those two than the national narratives would give them credit for. Because outside of Houston, it's not like Trevor Ariza and Luke Bamute have been these indispensable pieces. Now, they've been good, don't get me wrong, but there's a reason they have bounced around. It's not like they've been somewhere else and been seen as indispensable. No, they're quality players, but again, their value largely has to do with the system, and especially here in Houston with Mike D'Antoni as the coach, Chris Paul and James Harden, two of the league's best guards, maybe the two best point guards on the same team, leading the way and getting everyone, putting them in the right positions to succeed tactically. It's easy to see where role players that are brought in could surprise to the upside, and the role players that have exited, such as Ariza and Bamute, might surprise to the downside going to a place that doesn't have the infrastructure that is there in Houston. So again, it's early. This is nothing shocking to me, but it's something that, again, I do think, at least nationally, it runs against the narrative, but it's something that should be considered. The Rockets, with Chris Paul and James Harden, they are going to get role players to outperform. It is a system, especially with the offensive talent in place, where if you can do the little things, the glue guy things, the hard work that James Ennis brings, yes, he can bring you a lot of what Trevor Ariza did a year ago. I firmly believe that. Argument against it, yeah, I know Ennis has bounced around. He's been a journeyman. Well, guess what? Before the last 4 years in Houston, Trevor Ariza was a journeyman as well. And now he appears to be, again, a bit of a nomad going to a bad Phoenix Suns team. It's, in my opinion, likely to buy him out by February or March. And who knows where he goes then, maybe even back to Houston. Then Luke Bamute going back to a middling Clippers team. Those two, their profiles outside of Houston do not show that their teams around the league view them as indispensable pieces. So that's why, yes, I do think there's potential for James Ennis to replace one or both of those guys to a much greater extent than they're given credit for. Yes, I understand outside of Houston that it hasn't really worked. But again, if you're going to compare, the main point as I close out this show is this, with the newcomers, because the Rockets do have a lot of new guys this offseason that they brought in, at least six that I can recall, when you look at their profiles outside of Houston, which I know before the season starts, there's going to be a lot of skepticism saying, hey, these guys weren't so good outside of Houston. What makes you think they're going to be potentially a serviceable rotation player here? Well, you can't compare Trevor Ariza and Luke Bamute in Houston to these players outside of Houston. That's not how it works. If you want to compare guys like James Ennis and Michael Carter-Williams, whoever it may be, outside of Houston to Trevor Ariza and Luke Bamute, you need to compare it to Ariza and Bamute outside of Houston, not in Houston. That's when you're going to have a more level playing field, and I think when you do that, you will see that in terms of replacing Ariza and Bamute, is it a given? No, but the gap is probably a little bit less than what it's being made out to be by the national media, who are, again, it's an apples and oranges comparison, showing what Ariza and Bob Mute did a year ago, surrounded by James Harden and Chris Paul, compared to what James Ennis did on teams that had no one near the caliber of James Harden, Chris Paul, or any of the other awesome infrastructure that is in place on a Rockets team that won 65 games this past season. So with that, we'll wrap up today's show. As always, thanks to you guys, our loyal listeners, for tuning in. If you want more content in the interim before our next show, the best place to get it is on Twitter. I'm on there at Ben Dubose. Show is on there at Locked On Rockets. We also got a website, LockedOnRockets.com. Facebook account, Facebook.com/LockedOnRockets. Email address, LockedOnRockets@gmail.com. Always that you can ask me questions about the team, make suggestions for the show, access our prior content, inquire about becoming a potential advertiser for our rapidly growing audience. Again, all of those avenues that you can either get in touch with me or check out our prior shows, past content, all those types of things. Also, if you haven't subscribed to us already, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Megaphone, odds are wherever you listen to your podcast, we're on there because at the Locked On Podcast Network, we have shows across the entire spectrum, football, baseball, college sports, whatever it may be, in addition to basketball. Of course, here in Houston, it also means Locked On Texans. But the good news, when you're part of a great network like that, you've got a lot of channels, podcast distributors. So wherever you want to listen to your podcast, the odds are we're out there. Please subscribe to us. That's how you'll get episodes right when they come out. And also leave us a 5-star review because that's how we can look attractive to potential advertisers and keep the business model working here at Locked On Rockets as the most regular podcast covering Houston Rockets basketball. Again, this will do it for today, Friday, but please stay tuned because with Minnesota having an incentive to get the Butler deal done sooner rather than later, whether the Rockets get him or he goes somewhere else, it wouldn't shock me if there are further developments this weekend. And if that's the case, we'll talk more about that in the days ahead, along with, of course, continued updates on the Rockets from the basketball court in Lake Charles as they're continuing their training camp and leading into next Tuesday's preseason opener against the Memphis Grizzlies in Birmingham, Alabama. So for now, folks, enjoy the rest of your Friday. Have a good weekend, but stay tuned because we'll probably have a lot more on the Jimmy Butler front in the coming days right here at Locked On Rockets, your home for podcast discussion of all things Houston Rockets basketball.